Hi, and welcome to the Vancouver Life Podcast.
This podcast is created to answer the most talked about questions when it comes to navigating the Vancouver real estate market.
I'm your host, Dan Wortel, a licensed agent and accredited real estate investment advisor based here in Vancouver, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Dash.
Hi, Dan. I'm also a local realtor, an exhausted father of two, husband of one, and really happy to be here.
Let's get right into today's episode. Another big week in real estate news to go over on this episode. And to top it off, we're going to get into the Bank of Canada, who look to have basically maxed out on their interest rate hikes as they held again this week. Though that's no real sign of relief, as of course, we're seeing increasing signs of a slowing economy and debt levels are surfacing. To this point, we saw the mortgage arrears rate increase for the first time in 2023, which we're going to dive into. But then, of course, shortly thereafter, we also saw the government announce a number of mortgage relief measures for those that are looking to renew their mortgage in the next couple of years. There was a big drop in the Canada five-year bond this last month, actually. And of course, there's also a ton of interest rate cut predictions out there. Lastly, well, the November real estate stats are out and we are going to dive into those as well. So big episode today, lots to go over, but right off the top here, quick update before we get into the details. For those of you who maybe don't know us, well, Ryan and I, we run a real estate team here called the Vancouver Life Real Estate Group.
And we've created an environment for agents to thrive in any market. And we're here to share that we're looking to grow.
Yeah, realtors who join us will have access to leads, top-tier coaching, social media training, and the modern marketing techniques that are required to basically be a success in any market.
So if you know a realtor who's looking to grow or looking to join a top-producing team, have them go to www.thevancouverlife.com/join to connect with us today.
Okay, perfect. So let's get into what's important in Canadian real estate this week. Number one, of course, is the Bank of Canada holding rates at 5% this week. And while this was definitely widely expected, as the economy essentially continues to slow and the rate of inflation lowers. Now, this was the third announcement in a row where the Bank of Canada held rates, something we haven't seen dating back to 2020, when rates were at a quarter point and held there for almost 2 years. So the recent hold is essentially sending further signs that we're having a stabilizing landscape. Yes, we know it is very tough out there and the economy is trending downwards, but again, it's a little bit more stable than it was, of course, over those last 18 months or so. And the focus, of course, has now shifted into when the Bank of Canada might start cutting rates. So there's a lot of predictions and the markets are pricing in some as well. We're going to get into those a little bit later on, right before we do the stats. And it's pretty fascinating how quickly and how dramatically these predictions have changed.
Yeah, it's no doubt, Dan. I think we can effectively say the narrative is changing. It's not what it was 6 months ago. It's certainly not cutting yet, but you know, that whole shift, it appears to be coming. And I think it's largely backed on some of these bigger economic metrics, which we're going to go through. And inflation's probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest one to be paying attention to. So, I mean, part of the reason why the Bank of Canada held rates this week is because inflation actually came in a little bit lower than expected. It came in at 3.1%. It was expected to come in at 3.2, so not a huge change. But the big deal here is that the headline index actually declined 0.1% on a month-over-month seasonally adjusted basis. So that means this is the first decline since the pandemic hit in early 2020. And furthermore, a 6% monthly decline in gasoline prices. Yay. For realtors, that's a big deal. That being said, that was probably the main driver in this decline. But when we strip that out and we look at just the core inflation, that's what the Bank of Canada tends to focus on. We see a notable deceleration from 4% down to 3.8%. On top of that, we're seeing unemployment rate rising, gone up 0.7% over the last 6 months. That's a softening in the labor market. So when you start to look at falling interest rates, falling inflation rates combined with loss of jobs and what we will get into is a slower GDP, we're starting to build the case for a recession here. The weakening economic growth means now that the Bank of Canada is likely done with their interest rate hike cycle. In fact, markets are now pricing in that the Bank of Canada will hold until April. So once April hits, we're thinking we're going to start to see some of those cuts, and I believe they're going to be maybe a little bit more aggressive than we have been led to believe. However, I'm not going to speculate too much more than that. But to give you some perspective, markets were calling for rate cuts at the second half of next year. That's now been advanced to probably the end of the first quarter.
So some potential good news on the horizon for those looking for the rates to come down here. And that will, of course, include a lot of people with variable rate or renewing mortgages, because we're about 19, 20 months into the rate hiking cycle. And of course, a lot of people have had their expenditures increase dramatically. And while we know people will always pay their mortgage first and cut out other discretionary spending way earlier, or they'll start accumulating debt on things like credit cards, well, we're now starting to see the very first sign, if you will, of stresses in the mortgage space. And that, of course, comes in the format of the arrears rate. So if you have not made a mortgage payment in 3+ months, you are considered in arrears. And that rate has been stable. It actually went down in January, or February rather, of this year. But after 7 straight months of being the exact same nationally, the arrears rate actually increased. So across Canada, the arrears rate is 0.15%, and it did jump to 0.16. So not a massive increase, but again, that is a change, right? We are seeing that number increase. So if we look at what that really means on a numbers basis, nationally, this tracks about 5.1 million mortgages that exist. And that equates to, that 0.16% equates to about 8,140 mortgages that are 3+ months behind in payments. That 0.01 increase is the same, or it equates to 300 more mortgages being added into that group. So how does that compare province by province? Well, if we look to the two highest home prices within the country, obviously that's Ontario and that's BC. And most interestingly, those two provinces have the lowest arrears rate. BC 0.13 and Ontario at 0.1%. And similar to Canada, we saw both those provinces increase by 0.1% month over month with their arrears rate. And if you're curious about which province has the highest rate, well, that is Saskatchewan at 0.58% right now. The arrears data, it goes all the way back almost 30 years to 1995. And the highest the arrears rate has ever been is 0.65. And that happened in 1997. During the global financial crisis, that number only hit 0.45%. As we know, Canada was not as affected by the GFC as it was by our neighbors to the south, for example. So as a country, it's quite fascinating to know that in the past 30 years, we've never seen an arrears rate even verging on 1%. So Canadians historically continue to be and have been incredibly resilient in paying their mortgage bills. But as we know, there are stresses here. And so as that starts to increase, and as the government knows that people are having trouble spending or basically paying their bills now, and they're seeing the debt levels increase, we have talked about how when all these mortgages are coming up for renewal, that there's a very good chance that our government might pull a few levers to ensure that people can in fact pay those mortgages. Because the last thing that the banks want is, of course, to be home sellers. They don't want that at all. They don't want you to be in arrears, and they definitely don't want to take your home and then try to sell it themselves. So as we've been talking about this for some time, we've now kind of seen the true signs that the government are technically going to do something here. Because earlier this month, the Liberal government unveiled what they're calling the Canadian Mortgage Charter. And this is aimed at ensuring ensures lenders offer relief to mortgage borrowers who are struggling to make those mortgage payments. And, you know, whether you like this or not, it's all but guaranteed to happen for the reasons I just outlined earlier. Because in our opinion, Housing is the economy in Canada, and the government can't let it fail. It's too big to fail. Not saying that we agree with this either way, but it kind of is what it is. So I just want to dive into a couple of the relief measures here that the Canadian Mortgage Charter is essentially enacting here. Number one is that they're allowing temporary extensions of the amortization period. Okay, we've heard this for a while here, but they haven't put a cap on that number, right? Could it be 50 years? Could it be 60 years? To be seen. But again, they're basically telling the banks that, hey, get ready to extend amortizations to help people's payments be lower so they can stay in their homes. Second, they're waiving all sorts of fees and costs that would have otherwise been charged for relief measures. This is an interesting one. Number three, they're not requiring insured mortgage holders to re-qualify under the insured minimum qualifying rate when switching lenders at mortgage renewal. So that's one of the bigger ones. And ultimately, sure, could they also include uninsured mortgages at any time? Of course they can. They are making sure banks are giving their borrowers lots of heads up, at least 4 to 6 months notice. They're giving homeowners the ability to make lump sum payments. You've already heard this one, of course. And they are not charging interest on interest in the event that mortgage relief measures result in a temporary period of negative amortization. So they're saying you can't double dip, even though you kind of have been. Now, realistically, you've probably heard a number of these before. Essentially, a bunch of these were already in place. And so it's kind of coming across a bit here as political theater. But hey, they're waving that flag and saying, hey, you know, hey, banks, we're keeping an eye on what's going on out there. And we definitely want to ensure that you're going to help homeowners remain homeowners. Do keep in mind, this is a charter and it doesn't really have legal backing. It's more of like an open letter to lenders. Though again, we do know what the government can do, and should they want to enact something, they tend to be able to do this pretty quick. So while all these measures may not be news to everybody, I do feel this is a bit of a peek behind the curtain and the first indication that the upcoming mortgage renewals do have the attention of the government, and do not be surprised when other levers are pulled to help ensure people stay in their homes if they need it. Of course, we'll see what happens if rates come down next year or not. Either way, do expect more government intervention to be able to do what they can to keep people in their homes.
Certainly a whole shift in narrative, kind of like we've been talking about. Hey, Dan, I mean, this wasn't on the table 6 months ago, I can tell you that. You know, did they know it was coming then? They did. But it's nice to see anyhow that you know, the government's at least trying to open the dialogue for extend and defend, if you will, and keep people in their homes to get through, you know, the next couple of years, which is going to be a big sticker shock, big payment shock for a lot of people, even if rates come down. With that said, let's touch on GDP, because if we want to bring rates down, GDP has to slow. And it has been. GDP has actually fallen at an annualized pace of 1.1% in Q3. This is well below the BOC's estimates, which they were thinking would be a 0.8% growth. So while economists debate whether we're actually officially in a recession, and whatever you want to call the kind of economy we're in, real GDP per capita has now declined for the fifth straight quarter. That's a lot. This will have an effect on the BOC and the weakening economy. And when you tie that in to, you know, the five-year Canadian bonds that have also been falling, we're starting to see an overall cooling in the economy, right? So with the bond market over the past month, and in particular, the last few days, will actually mean that there's more savings ahead for people looking for mortgages. Again, the five-year Canadian bond is the best sort of look at where five-year fixed interest rates for mortgages are going to be. So the five-year bond yield ran to a 16-year high in October, hitting a 4.42%. And it remained elevated for a lot of that month. As we got to December, where we are today, December 7th, that yield has now dropped about a full basis point down to 3.44%, which is a low we haven't seen since the summer. I will preface, it got to about 2.8, I believe, somewhere around there, earlier in the year, but it didn't hang around down there for too long. So weaker economic data, cooling inflation figures in Canada, alongside expectations for possible peak rates in the U.S. as well, this has helped reverse the trend that it was headed in November. With that said, it's still not great for borrowers, especially right now. We still haven't seen much relief, although we are starting to hear of 4.99% and 5% mortgage rates right now. It's just starting to come through. However, the latter half of 2025 and 2026, borrowers could probably expect that they will see, a 6%, they'll probably see something with a 4 in front of it. So I think that's a big relief for a lot of people who are looking to renew in that time frame.
Big thing to note too about the 5-year bond. When it trends upwards, the banks seem to change their fixed rates upwards very quickly as well, almost in lockstep. Mm-hmm. Yet when they drop, the banks tend to wait and see where the numbers kind of stabilize. So maybe not too surprising, but that's kind of how they operate. But 100 basis point drop is significant, and it is happening very quickly. So yes, it is highly expected that fixed rates will come down in the upcoming weeks here. Maybe not 100 basis points, but maybe to the tune of 0.5, 0.6. Mm-hmm. But where is the relief for the variable rate mortgages? So of course, the rate cut forecasts are now abound, and they're coming in left, right, and center. They're all the rage. And realistically, if we look at one big one, ING Economist, which is in, of course, the US here, they put their hat in the ring this last week, stating that they expect 6 rate cuts by the end of 2024. And when they say 6, they're essentially referring to a quarter point each time. But that's 150 points down. It's a big number. Here in Canada, markets are currently pricing in 3 to 4 quarter point cuts by the end of next year, totaling around 100 basis points as well. So that's a fairly significant change as well. And while that might be very welcome news to some mortgage holders, do keep in mind, be careful what you wish for, because if rates are coming down, that essentially means that the economy is suffering, right? The Bank of Canada will lower rates to help stimulate a suffering economy. So while it does obviously help a select few, it will undoubtedly come at a time when others are in a tough position. And that means, of course, job losses, companies that are making less money, negative GDP, discretionary spending very low, and so forth. So keep in mind, Canada also cannot cut their rates too far ahead of the US, of the Fed, without severely hurting the Canadian dollar and likely causing another bout of inflation thanks to more expensive imports. Because the difference here is that the US debt burdens are much lower than Canadian ones. Keep in mind of all those millions of mortgages that they locked in during the pandemic at 30-year terms. Those people they're laughing now. They don't even have to consider this stuff. I guess for a more specific example, take the household debt service ratios in Canada are around 15%. So you compare that to what's happening in the States at 9%. So they can essentially, like what this really means is that the States can withstand higher rates for a longer period of time, much more than Canada can. So we're going to see how these things pan out. But while it's likely that Canada would like to lower rates sooner, they do have to be very cognizant of what our partners to the south do. But either way, look forward to January the 24th. That is the next rate announcement. All bets right now are currently on a hold. But hey, we know the data moves quickly, so we will keep you updated then. Now, let's dive into what happened in GVRD's November real estate stats. And we always start off with the sales number. This is kind of the health, if you will, of the marketplace, where last month we saw 1,702 units sell, which was shockingly, it's higher than the year before, about 4.7% higher than it was November 2024. But I mean, we go back a little further here. We look at November 2021. Yes, that was an incredibly hot year. But I mean, sales are half, 50% less than what they were just 2 years ago. And again, you look even bigger, you look at the 10-year horizon here, we're 33% below that 10-year average, which is, it's noticeable. Of course, you know, if you're in the industry or if you're a buyer or a seller, you can definitely feel how sluggish the sales volumes are out there.
Yeah. And when you combine that with new listings too, it's a great indication of, you know, the appetite there for sellers. It's not great. 3,369 new listings for the month of November. While that's a 9.8% increase compared to November 2022, I don't think it's largely unexpected. You know, we are expecting inventory to somewhat climb in this environment, so that doesn't come as a huge surprise. This is the second lowest new listing count, though, for 2023 outside of January. And again, It was 2.8% below the 10-year seasonal average of 3,464. All of it kind of wrapping up as a fairly typical November, albeit with sentiment in the dumpster and a lot of sluggish movement.
So with inventory, it really was the story of 2023 here, in that most people, ourselves included, expected inventory to increase somewhat dramatically this year, and it just did not happen. So inventory actually never crossed the 12,000 mark, going back 3 years now. It's been November of 2020 since we saw inventory here over 12,000. Right now, we're looking at about 10,300 actively listed units. That was down about 2.5% year over year and 9% month over month. It's going to be even lower by the time that the year wraps up here. And so that's kind of it. Like, we saw no significant spike of inventory in all of 2023 against expectations. And we'll make our predictions, of course, at the end of this month, as we always do. But 2024, it's setting up to be a very interesting year as well, inventory wise, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of sentiment, we don't often stay too long in a balanced or buyer's market, especially they're usually induced, which is, I largely believe what we're in now. We're in an overall balanced marketplace. 16.3% is the overall sales to active ratio. That's down 1.6%, which is a fairly substantial amount. That puts us officially in a balanced market now for 3 months in a row. So without a doubt, you know, we are in a balanced territory. And when you break it down by asset class, it gets even more interesting. So detached homes right now are sitting at 12.7%. That's 0.7% outside of a buyer's market. And again, that trended down over last month, 0.2%. Attached. So when we're talking about townhomes and duplexes, those have just fallen into a buyer's market as well, down 1.1% at 19.8% overall. Apartments slipped the most at 2.3%. That's 18.2% overall. It puts you in a balanced marketplace. This is the first time it's seen balance as well since January. And I will say, you know, when you look at it by asset class, it would appear that apartments have a little bit more to go. Townhomes, arguably the same. But when you consider detached homes having, you know, only come down 0.2% over the last month, I would say we're nearing the bottom of this sales to active ratio. It may sit here for some time, but I don't think we'll see too much more in terms of detraction. We'll see. But generally speaking, the sentiment's, I think, going to improve going into the next year with a lot of the news that we're starting to hear.
And that sales to active listings ratio is such a great predictor of what's happening with price. So we just saw that drop. Well, guess what else dropped? Prices. HPI-wise, the average home is sitting at $1,185,000. That's a full 1% decrease from the month before. And a full percent decrease is on the larger side. We don't often see to the downside that much, which essentially means that the rate of deceleration in prices is actually increasing. And it's the fourth month in a row where we've seen prices come down. Now, when we want to talk a little bit about resiliency here, because, you know, we're still 4.9% over the prices 1 year ago. So we're actually up almost 5% from a year ago, which is surprising to many, ourselves included. But again, talk about resiliency. When we look to Toronto, Toronto saw a drop last month of 2.2% in 1 month. And Toronto home prices are now 19% below the peak of March in 2022. Compare that to Vancouver, which is only 6.5% below that same 2022 peak. And these are two areas that are dealing with the same rate of inflation, same overnight interest rates, and largely the same buying power province to province. And yet they've seen a 3x drop compared to Vancouver in the same time frame. So very fascinating to see them be more volatile and once again talk to or speak to how incredibly resilient the Vancouver market is year after year, cycle after cycle. Expanding a little bit more on price now, we do like to look at the median. It actually didn't change last month. It was dead flat at $970,000, which again, it's only 3% under the all-time high. And average dropped as well, about $16,000 to $1,284,000. $1,000, which is only 5% under the all-time high. So fairly sticky prices, but again, we're 4 months down and accelerating. So we're going to see where this bottoms out for this cycle, which we have no idea where that bottom is as of today.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we look at days on market too, this is another really good indicator for sentiment and a good reflection of price too. You know, we saw a big spike up in days on market this month, hitting 20. So now taking almost three full weeks to sell a home, which in this considering this market, that's actually still quite quick. All things said, though, it's a big spike up. It's 8 days up, so over a week longer this month than last month to sell your property. You know, it's if you compare it to also the active listings, the days on market, the average is 87. That's actually up 18. So, you know, like I mentioned before, when it comes to the sales to active ratio, which is a great indicator of sentiment, we're now seeing that result pop up in the official days on market and the average days on market for active listings. They are sitting, right? And buyers are waiting for this relief to come before they're going to make a move. They're waiting for certainty. They're waiting for this game to reset.
Yeah, one thing I want to touch on today too is the fact that it is very hard today to find any type of quote unquote positive news when it comes to real estate. All the headlines are just negative, negative, negative. Everything's falling through the floor. And we see this every single cycle. And it's almost a sign that when we are at sort of peak negative news regarding real estate, it's a sign that, hey, we might be coming close to a cycle bottom. And don't get me wrong, the exact same thing happens on the high end. When every news story is about homes selling in a day for 500 grand over ask, that's something to be very wary of as well, because that's a sign of peak top cycle when you may not want to consider that purchase. Either way, it's something that we're going to explore further in an upcoming episode about, you know, both the negative and positive sides of real estate headlines. And, you know, you can always find something to feed whatever narrative you believe in. So maybe just be careful of what you believe in. Again, you always want to understand both sides of the coin. You want to understand all sides of the story before making any educated decision in any marketplace, but something that we're looking forward to exploring on a future episode here. Ryan, what else? What do you think is coming up next here?
Well, I think if we continue down the path of what we're expecting to see, so, you know, if we get into the first quarter of next year and we do see hints of a rate hike coming, you know, markets pricing in high levels that this is going to take place. You know, it's important, I think, for people to remember that while, you know, interest rates are higher right now, your opportunity to negotiate prices down will get harder and harder as the capital flows freer and freer into the marketplace. Sellers will expect higher and higher results, right? It's very typical. It's historical. It's cyclical. So, you know, I do think in the next probably 3 to 4 months here, maybe 3 to 5 months, there's going to be a great opportunity for buyers to push around and get the terms and conditions and things they want, knowing that if they can get, you know, a 3 month close, maybe even longer in this scenario, that they can take advantage of lowering prices, negotiating lowering prices, and capturing some lowering rates. So there's a real opportunity, I think, in the next, you know, 3 to 5 months. And I think buyers should be really aware of that, as should sellers.
Fantastic. Great place to end it. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Have a great day, and we will see you next week.
That wraps up this edition of the Vancouver Life Podcast.
For more information on this podcast and to access a ton of free downloads, investment opportunities, current market info, and homes for sale, you can find it all at www.thevancouverlife.com.
Thanks, and we look forward to bringing you more podcasts about Vancouver real estate.